Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From Montana to Mahomes, his call has been synonymous with Chiefs football.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
He's the voice of the Chiefs kingdom, and he joins The Drive every Monday at 4.
You can't doubt the Chiefs! You can dislike the Chiefs! You can disrespect the Chiefs! You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs!
Here's Mitch Holthus.
We're going to head to the phone lines here momentarily to be joined by Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Let me tell you that Mitch Holthus is brought to you by GEHA, Government Employees Health Association, Incorporated, and also Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Mitch Holthus. Mitch, when did you guys get back yesterday?
When did we land? 3:30. We got back at the facility at 4, and then head on a pillow at 4:30-ish, but then up after a couple hours and you roll. This is Monday and Tuesday all on the same day. So I was telling Rob, it started out as a Monday, then it went to Tuesday. Now I'm back with you on a Monday. It's going to be Tuesday here as soon as I'm done with you, and then I go back to a Monday for the Kingdom Show. That's just the way it happens. Once you walk off that plane after Monday Night Football on the road, it's Tuesday immediately when you put your foot on the ground. That's the way it works. And then you got the Lions coming in. So no chance to snivel or whine.
Let's start with this, Mitch. And I understand that this is not how games work and these plays happen and you can't go and take them back. I feel like if you change the result of just one of these two plays, we are having a different conversation. Either Nick Bolton gets the interception, Drew Tranquil, either one of them. If the Chiefs can't convert, which was a gift from the football gods, one of them catch the ball, or Mahomes doesn't have the pick six. I feel like for as close as this game was, I feel like it really comes down to both of those plays went Jacksonville's way and didn't go Kansas City's way, and in a game with so close margin of error, that ended up being the difference.
I'm going to give you another one that people have forgotten about. You want it?
Of course.
14-0 lead, 3rd and 15. The Jags are backed up in their own territory and defensive pass interference on Watson, automatic first down. And that sets up a drive for them to get to 14-7 that sets up the sequence that you're talking about, really the remainder of the game. If the Chiefs get a stop, the Jags have to punt from deep in their own territory. At the least, you're going to get a field goal and go up 17-0. The others would be, then on the offensive side of possession 4, you got a chance to score back to back at 14-7. Even if you get field goal wrapped around the half, you're up 20-7, and that's pretty much game over. 3 and out, possession 4, 3 and out, possession 5. That led to the pick 6, almost the interception. So you catch my drift. That 3rd and 15 was rough because the Chiefs are moving it, man. They might go down and get up to 21-0, and it would be really hard for the Jags to get back in the game at that point.
I feel like in this game, and I think what is so frustrating about this, and I'm not trying to take away anything from Jacksonville. Jacksonville made plays. That might end up being one of the surprise teams in the AFC this year. I just felt like Kansas City made so many mistakes in this game. They had 14 penalties. They had a pass interference on the 1-yard line. They put the ball on the 1-yard line. Trevor Lawrence fell. They didn't convert on that play. They threw the pick 6 in this one. I just the the special teams gaffe to put the ball at the 40-yard line. I just feel like so many of those mistakes just started to add up and add up. And I don't care how good you are. When you go on the road and you play a good team and the crowd is into it and you got a hungry team like Jacksonville, you just can't make that many mistakes and also expect to leave with a win.
Especially in the 2025 version of the NFL. There's so many crazy, razor-thin margin games that even the plays that we discussed prior to that inference or question or statement by you was any one of those could tip the scale here. We saw it in the Eagles game. We've seen it in several games this year throughout the NFL. All right, now, every phase had good things in that game. I mean, you're talking the offense had 476 yards of offense. They averaged 8 yards a player almost. That's the best in 2 years. Kareem Hunt gets a 33-yard run. Isaiah Pacheco gets a 17-yard run. Mahomes throws for 318 and runs for 60. And then they didn't get the drive done, the possession four, possession five, possession six, where the game flipped. Defensively, Bolton was all over the place. 12 tackles, the play at the goal line, slapping a ball out from Lawrence trying to get it over the goal line. You get 3 sacks against the team that only had 3 sacks allowed in 4 games. And yet, you can't stop them. 60 yards to go, and you can't stop them. And for a variety of reasons. Special teams. 4 penalties in the second half on special teams. And you talk about the kick going out of bounds at the 40. You didn't mention the kick return, the possession before that got to the 41, which led to a field goal and a 24-21 Jags lead. So, and then there was good things in the special teams. Matt Araiza probably had his best game as a Chief. 4 punts inside the 20. He flips the field twice, or it could have been a problem. I mean, there was just there's 20 plays in that game in 3 phases that there's plus minus, but there were just too many minuses that leads to a 3-point loss.
Mitch, can you take us through the Patrick Mahomes pick six, kind of how you see it? It looked like he just got baited. It looks like the defensive player kind of hit his hand, so to speak, pops up, makes the big play, and takes it to the house. You have a perfect bird's eye view of the play. What did you see?
Yeah, Devin Lloyd now, he's a beast right now. The fact that he's got the most takeaways in the league, he's a good tackler, a good linebacker, but he's such an athlete and, you know, ball hawk. But that was – Coach Reed will say, you know, sometimes you get them and sometimes they get you. I think Pat even mentioned that he had not seen that coverage. So Jacksonville, you know, we think about offenses like putting plays in their pocket or pulling them out at the right time or saving the Joker or the Ace of Hearts and putting it in your coat pocket. Defenses do that too. Defenses will save little tricky, like we're going to try to trick him right here in the red zone. Now, the Jags went in 5 in the league. In red zone defense. And that's why the Chiefs cashing it in on the other ones, I'm thinking, okay, this is impressive to be red zone efficient again for a second straight week. But then the Jags pull out the card. They waited for that call, hadn't used it all year, and so give them credit. Yes, they baited the Chiefs into an interception. It rarely happens to Mahomes, but they did it. And that's one where you got to give the Jags, you tip the hat to them, even though that one was painful. The longest return by a linebacker since James Harrison's against the Cardinals in Super Bowl 43, by the way.
Right now, we're talking to Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. His appearances are brought to you by GEHA and also Silverstein Eye Center. I know the Chiefs had that big penalty, or the big turnover, excuse me, and that ended up being a pivotal switch in the game. I thought this was another very, very good offensive performance for the Chiefs. You can see this offense coming together a little bit. Their running back room looked about as well as it's looked so far this season. They really got a bunch of different options at wide receiver, and now we're just 1 week away from them getting back their best skill position player. There's a lot of good right now to talk about when it comes to the offense.
And that might have been the offensive line collectively, their best game. Maybe since the Super Bowl 57 zero sack game against the Eagles. Now, I know what 3 of those 5 guys weren't there then, but the point is that offensive line of the Chiefs really had a good game last night. And to get a 33-yard run from Kareem Hunt, to get a 17-yard run from Pacheco, to get Tyquan Thornton, we're going to feature that tonight on the Chiefs Kingdom show, for him to do it every week. It's not like he's flashing and then you don't see him again for a month. And he did it 3 different ways last night. And I'll break that down during our Coach Reed segment tonight. We'll hear from Coach as well. But you're right. the offense is getting it going, and it's Rashard Smith adding in his talents. But with the line playing that well, Mahomes had clean pockets for a lot of the night, and for this offense to be efficient and explosive and get into the red zone and get touchdowns is something that bodes well for the future, and you're going to need all of that this week against the NFL's best team right now.
Right now, we're talking to Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. I got to talk to you about the final defensive play of the game for Kansas City. A lot of people, myself included, very frustrated with the effort from Chris Jones. It's just not a good look when you look at the film. I'm sure by now you've seen the play. What do you see from him? What do you see from that defensive line on Trevor Lawrence's rushing touchdown?
You know, many times, and I'm not trying to minimize it, but many times have you seen where a guy fumbles a punt and then everybody kind of, the punt coverage unit kind of relaxes thinking, oh, well, this is going to be something bad for them. And then they pick the ball up and go, and it becomes a touchdown or a long punt return. Sometimes it happens where it's human nature to like, oh, this is a good play. We got this. And then all of a sudden he ad libs, Lawrence does, and does an awesome job with it. And so, you know, I'm going to give, I guess, the defense a little bit of thinking, oh, well, he fumbled the snap. This is going to be good. And then Lawrence recovered, and the defense didn't rebound in a split second enough. Now, just hear me out on that, because that, I think that's a very real thing. Is that all of it? Probably not. But that's some of it, because even when I was calling the play-by-play, you'll hear me say, you know, drop snap. And Lawrence, and so there's this feeling of like, oh, this is awesome. This is going to be something good. And human nature is you kind of let your guard down for a second. And then all of a sudden he's up and running and you're thinking, oh, no, this is an issue. So a little bit of human nature there, I think, and just something that happens in football.
Yeah, it's just one of those plays, at least when you kind of look at the flow of the game. Obviously, it's a big play. They score a touchdown on the play. I mean, Jacksonville doesn't have a timeout left. They had called their timeout a couple plays earlier. They ran a screen play on second down the middle of the field. Just didn't really make a lot of sense to me why you would call that play. I mean, if anybody touches Lawrence while he's down or you get the tackle there, the clock is still running. They got to spike the ball there. There's probably 12 seconds left. Just like to kind of have that mental lapse at that stage in the game, it was just backbreaking.
Well, yeah, but there's we just have said there's probably 20 plays that are kind of backbreaking. I mean, doing it over, I've got confidence they'll make that play again, but it was such an atypical play at that moment that, I don't know. It was, I even had the feeling of like, oh, this is good. Cause I had the same thinking, the clock's going to move. They got to line up, they got to spike it, and then they got to throw it to the end zone. But give Lawrence credit. He makes a heck of a play. He turned into Michael Vick last night. That's probably the most surprising thing of that game. He was like 2.1 a rush, and he's running around like he's Lamar Jackson in 2018.
Mitch, I got to get your thoughts on Harrison Butker. I feel like every week I just have to pencil in time to talk about Harrison Butker. It wasn't a missed field goal this week, but to kick the ball out of bounds on that play, then put the ball on the 40-yard line, something just feels off. I'm obviously willing to give it more time. I completely get that, and he's been very valuable for this team in the postseason, but just – It is just disappointing that it feels like after every one of these games, we've kind of had to have the question of, hey, is everything okay with their kicker?
Again, one thing leads to the next. Now, you realize what happened the kickoff before, right?
Yeah.
He has to make the tackle. It's a 41-yard kickoff return. The coverage units were not good last night, all of it. So what happens then? Do you play golf?
A little bit.
Yeah, I haven't played in a long time. Love to play. My wife's really good at it. But anyway, so let's say you got a par three, or you're maybe out 80 yards, and the pin's tucked into the right. And you got a bunker in front, you got water to the right side. Because you're going, if I put this thing in there tight, I'm going to get birdie here. And you are trying to place it so neatly instead of going to the fat of the green and then try to, you know, two-putt or maybe make a long putt. You're trying to hit the pin in a difficult circumstance. I think the return on the previous play set up a strategy to try to pinpoint it where it would be difficult for them to get a return to the 41-yard line. Now, in the back of my mind, I even said it to Danan on the air, this is an instance, even though there's 1:45 left, that you kick it for a touchback, and yeah, they get it at the 35, but their return game had been so explosive or potentially explosive that for them to get a kick return with a full head of steam was seemingly the most dangerous thing that could happen at the point, at that point. So you're trying to pinpoint and fine-tune it, and he didn't get it. The ball went off the side of the green and into the water, two-stroke penalty. Now, does that take him off the hook? He'll own it. He'll wear it. He'll get it. But I'm also telling you, just to look at it and say, man, he clunked that thing. I don't know what he was thinking of. You've got to look at it in the context of the other kick returns in that game and the one that especially happened right before that kick return, because they're trying to do all they can to minimize Jacksonville's field position, and in turn it went just the opposite way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Right now we're talking to Mitch Holtis.
Look at the other kick return. So I'm thinking, what are they going to do? I don't want to kick it to them because I'm going, they might run this back for the touchdown or at least the midfield. So then he's trying to place it, but he's trying to place it in a tough spot. And the returner smart enough to wait. Here come the Chiefs running down the field. It goes out of bounds. But it wasn't a clunky kick where he just scolded and they get the ball at the 40. You know, what a knucklehead move. He's trying to actually prevent the return. Again, I love the dude, but he kicked it out of bounds. But still, there's a reason why they tried to place that kick where they did.
Right now, we're talking to Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. I'll get you out of here with these last two. I know it's early on in the season. They're 2-3. This is another massive swing game. I mean, this is almost the exact same position. It feels like they were just in their last home game against the Ravens. There is a major difference in being 3-3 and 2-4, especially in the AFC right now that is super, super competitive. And also this home stretch. I mean, this is a big home stretch. I'm trying to think of the last time that they had one like this. You've got that swing game against the Detroit Lions, maybe the best team in the National Football League. You get Rashee Rice back for a divisional game where anything can happen. I'm not super high on the Raiders, but it's a divisional game. Crazier things have happened in that rivalry before. And then you play a Commanders team that was in the NFC Championship game. This team doesn't go back on the road again until they play Buffalo. This feels like a really important stretch to just play with some momentum and start playing good football heading into the second half of the season.
But I think you're playing the best team in the NFL right now. There's no weakness on this Lions team. Goff is at 75% completion percentage, leads the league with 12 touchdown passes. Amon-Ra St. Brown, you could argue, is one of the top, if not the top, receiver right now in the league. Sam Laporta went nuts yesterday. They have two all-pros, not pro bowlers, all-pros on their offensive line in Ragnow and Penei Sewell. You've got a defense that Aiden Hutchinson is crushing it. He's getting a sack every week. You got Kirby Joseph, who's only the second safety in the last, 40 years to have 20 interceptions in his first 4 years, and Ed Reed's the other one. I mean, you got, and then the kick returner, Khalif Raymond's got a punt return for a touchdown. The punter set an all-time record last year in net punting. He's the all-pro first-team punter, and the kicker was a brick salesman who's making every kick. I mean, you just have a Detroit team now that is coming in with everything working. And the fact that Detroit has averaged, they're at 35 points a game, I think at 34.8. Last year they were 34 and change. If they stay on this pace, they'll become the first team since the 1941-42 Bears to average that many points in back-to-back years. So that's what's coming in here for Sunday Night Football. I'm with you. But the Chiefs have just got it. This sounds so cliche, but when you live in the fortress of a team, you've got to figure out a way to win this game. Get to 3-3. One third of the season is over at 3-3. And guess who's coming in stage left? Rashee Rice. To join, Xavier Worthy, Tyquan Thornton, and the rest of the crew. And 3-3 feels like 4-2 or 5-1, just because you're going to take all your dudes into that the next two games of that homestand. So that's where this game is at. Yes, it feels like the Ravens game, a playoff game in October, but you're also playing a much more comprehensive team in the Detroit City Lions this week.
Mitch, last thing here, and we'll get you out of here. You mentioned how busy your schedule is, how busy the team's schedule is for these next couple of days. You just got less time to do all the things that you usually have in a normal week. You still got your Chiefs Kingdom obligation today. Who do you have on the show?
Well, we're going to be at Lee's Summit, the east location. That's Rice Road. And we're going to hear from Coach Pat, actually. I'm going to jump into the Tyquan Thornton thing a little bit more. And then we're going to have Gary Stills on. And Gary, who is a really good special teams player, you know his son, an outstanding football player. But we're going to dive into, and maybe even more skewed to special teams than defense. Gary was a linebacker. Because the special teams unit, those four penalties in the second half were rough. You get two holding penalties. You get the illegal block by Remigio, Cochran with the two holds and the kick out of bounds. Those are all incredibly costly penalties, especially at the worst time of the game. But the special teams unit the week before was great, and Ariza had his best game. So there's still some pluses to take into this game. But how do you fix it? How do you work it? How do you deal on a short week? Because these guys are coming in with one less day to recover and prepare for, again, what I think is the NFL's best team right now. And that's tough duty when you come off the road in a loss like that on a Monday night game.
That is Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us on the show today. His appearances are brought to you by GEHA, Government Employees Health Association, Incorporated, and also by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. Mitch, happy to have you on the show today.
All right, man. Thanks.
Absolutely. That is Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us on the show today. Always appreciate getting his thoughts and opinions on the show. We got room to take you guys' phone calls. If you want to chime in, 913-586-7965. We got a lot of free time between now and the end of the show to do that. We have no more guests. It is just me, you, and Rob the rest of the way. If you have missed any part of the show, this is what we have been talking about. We have been talking about, I think, the power structure, the core, the foundation of this team in all of your losses this season, they have made plays to contribute to a loss. Whether it was Travis Kelce against the Philadelphia Eagles and the drop ball, whether it was Patrick Mahomes in this game throwing a pick six interception, that was a major swing in the game. Whether it's been Harrison Butker, who has just had an issue in every single game that the Chiefs have played this season, whether it was Chris Jones and a lack of effort on the final play, whether it was Chris Jones in the game against the Chargers in which he lost containment and Herbert ran for a first down, the Chiefs' stars, their key contributors, the guys that people have gone out and bought their jerseys, have been in the middle of every loss that they have had so far this season. If this team is going to turn things around, yes, it's about getting healthy. It's about playing more cohesive football. It's also about those guys being a difference maker, and a difference maker in a positive way, and then making winning plays to help you close out these ball games. Some of it feels like it's been coin flips, and for a long period of time, the Chiefs won every single coin flip. I think we all knew at some point it was going to turn in the other direction. I think the frustration has just been, it's been your guys, it's been your stars that have kind of contributed to it. Again, it's been Mahomes, it's been Kelce, it's been Jones, it's been Butker. It's been those guys, Chiefs Hall of Famers, NFL Hall of Famers, that have been in the middle of all of these losses. We also gave out our
barbecue chicken alert, barbecue chicken alert.
We gave it to Shamari Connor. I mean, that's when, you know what, just put it on the board. I'm talking about barbecue chicken alert Hall of Famer right now. Yesterday, he was targeted 11 times. He gave up a catch on 10 of those drives. Trevor Lawrence had a 105 quarterback rating when throwing the ball at Shamari Connor yesterday. Shamari Connor has a pretty defined role, I think, on this team. For whatever reason, the Chiefs have him doing things and lined up against guys. He just can't cover them. I don't know why we haven't done it. I've been very critical of Chris Jones and his effort on the final defensive play of the game. I also hate that he calls that play fluke. It was not fluky. Trevor Lawrence just made a better play than the Chiefs' defense.
I thought multiple times we had him. We just got to finish. We got to finish. We had multiple guys there that we just got to finish that play. It was a fluke play for him to be able to break that many tackles. But, yeah, I think I put it on us as a defense. We got to finish. You know, we got to bring him down on that.
I'm not letting that fly. I'm not letting that slide. Fluke play, to me, in that situation, it takes away from Trevor Lawrence. It takes away from Jacksonville, and it creates a built-in excuse. It wasn't fluky. Trevor Lawrence just made a better play. He made a better play than the Chiefs' defensive line. He made a better play than the Chiefs' linebackers. The Chiefs had multiple chances to touch him while he's on the ground. Jacksonville doesn't have a timeout. They're really in a spot. They got to hurry up, get to the line of scrimmage, and spike the ball. That's a big play. He then gets up and then runs for a touchdown. So, no, I'm not letting Fluky ride. He made a play. You guys didn't make a play. Let's tip our cap where it needs to be. Let me ask you guys this question. We'll take phone calls too. 913-586-7965. I want you guys to fill in the blank. Yesterday, the Chiefs lost because blank. The Chiefs lost because blank. How would you fill in the blank? I'll give you my answer. Rob will give you his. We'll also go through the text line. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rob, I know we don't have a lot of time to talk about it today, but the NCAA, they have approved a single window transfer portal. The transfer portal now in college football will be from January 2nd through January 16th. I mean, of course, you got to put the transfer portal in the middle of the college football playoff. I don't know whose idea that was, but that is the new transfer portal. So you will not be allowed to transfer after this. What they had before was they had two different windows. They had one window that was after spring football. So you could transfer before the start of the season, and then you could transfer after spring. Hey, I didn't win the quarterback job. I'm just going to transfer somewhere else. That is now not going to be the case. They gave you 2 weeks to transfer, January 2nd through January 16th. Those will be the only time that a college football player will be able to transfer. All right, let me get back to the Chiefs here. We'll take your phone calls, 913-586-7965. If you had to fill in the blank, the Chiefs lost because blank. Rob, how would you answer that question? I think the Chiefs lost this game because of two things. I guess the first thing, the Chiefs lost this game because of two missed opportunities. I believe the Chiefs win this game if either you get the interception in the first half by Nick Bolton, Drew Tranquil, whomever you think should have got the interception. I just think the momentum and the flow of the game is drastically different if the Chiefs make that play. And or the Chiefs don't get the pick six. Now, you got to give Jacksonville credit. You made one of the plays. But I feel like, and you know my saying, football games are defined by 4 to 8 plays. I feel like Jacksonville made 6 of those plays. The Chiefs made a couple of them. The drive at the end of the game for Patrick Mahomes, Nick Bolton forcing the fumble early on in the game. The Chiefs made those kind of plays. But if we sat down and we wrote down, what plays do you think were the most important plays in this game? I think you give Jacksonville 6 of them. Maybe you give them 7 of those. They were overwhelming in those plays. I think that was the difference. I think the Chiefs lost this game because of a missed opportunity. I also think they lost this game because of special teams. Their special teams killed them at every single turn. They had 4 straight kickoffs in which they had a penalty. And then on the most important kickoff, put it in bounds. I heard what Mitch Holtis said. You're in a better position to kick it out of bounds. Just the mental aspect of it. Hey, we don't want to deal with a return. We don't want to give them a chance for a return. We understand that that puts the ball for them on the 35-yard line. We can live with that. Let's kick the ball out of the end zone. Let's get ready to play defense. This is what we're going to do as a team. I think the Chiefs tried something. It didn't work. And again, they trusted their kicker to make a play, and their kicker has just let them down pretty routinely so far this season. Now, I don't know if that's going to be a theme once we get to January and once we get to February, but at least so far this season, we have had to be called to the principal office every single week for something related to Harrison Butker. It shouldn't be like this with your kicker. Not when you're paying him what you're paying him. Not when he has the history and track record that he has. We shouldn't spend as much time worrying, asking the exact same question about Harrison Butker. Hey, is he good? Is everything all right? Is he good? Is he fine? I don't have a good answer for you. I've told you guys, they're not doing anything. There's nothing to do with Harrison Butker other than hope that it turns around. But every single week, he has either missed a kick, he's missed the extra point, or he kicks the ball out of bounds. Like that. That's not a problem we should be discussing on the team when it comes to them. So, yeah, I think they lost the game because of missed opportunities. I think they just had too many of those over the course of the game. And I don't care how good you are, when you go on the road against a team in the league, especially with the margin of error, it's razor thin right now. We say this every year. This year, it might be the gap between the best team and the 14th best team in the league feels like it's non-existent right now. There's no great team right now in the league. There's five or six good teams in the league. And then the group of everybody else is good. Denver is a good team. I think the Chargers are a good team. The Chiefs lost their first two games. The Chargers have just lost their last two games. I just feel like there's no real separation between the haves and the have-nots. There's about 5 to 8 teams that have no chance and are simply playing out the string. And then there's 24 teams that feel like they're all bunched up. And then we're trying to figure out of those 24, 25 teams, which 14 of those are going to end up making the postseason. How would you fill in the blank, Rob?
I'd fill in the blank with the word coaching. The Chiefs lost because of coaching, and specifically defensive coaching. Because I know we're crediting Trevor Lawrence for making the play at the end of the game. I know in postgame he said he was just worried like hell or scared like hell, whatever he said in postgame about that play. And credit to him for that play, and really a credit to him for the throw to Brian Thomas Jr. earlier in that drive. But man, the Jags made a bunch of boneheaded mistakes throughout the game. And it felt like the Chiefs were never in the right position to take advantage of those boneheaded mistakes. And to me, that's coaching. And specifically, it falls on Spags to me. And me, you, everyone watching at home noticed one thing. You know what the Jags are doing a really good job of? Running the ball with Trevor Lawrence on broken plays. Spy him. Put a spy on Trevor Lawrence. Maybe it backfires, maybe it doesn't. But what I do know is him running around for 50-plus rushing yards was killing this defense. Also, why I say coaching. At the end of the game, Peyton Manning on the Manning cast said, look at this on that Brian Thomas Jr. catch. That's the first time that we haven't seen Trent McDuffie on Brian Thomas Jr. in a long time. Why in the most important moments of the game is your best corner covering Dynami Brown and Jalen Watson, who's not bad, but he's not as good as Trent McDuffie, is on their best wide receiver? That's a problem. That's a mistake. That's coaching to me. So I feel like they had enough coaching blunders through the game that even though the Jags kept trying to hand the ball back to the Chiefs just didn't take advantage. And to me, that falls on coaching. So the Chiefs lost because blank, the blank is coaching.
Let's head to the phone lines right now. Let's get Arthur's opinion on this. Hey, Arthur, how you doing today, my man?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Doing good, man.
Okay, I'll say the Chiefs lost that game, number one. They do this all the time. Every time you're in the red zone, you're throwing the ball on second down. You should run the ball at least two times inside the red zone. And Pat, no. And I'm blaming it on Pat Mahomes. Throwing an intercept, a pick, when you're getting ready to score and knock this team out of it. You know, the game would have been over. You score a touchdown. Or at least they would have had 3 points coming. So he can't throw a pick in that situation.
And that's a fair point, Arthur. I certainly can't deny that. That was the biggest swing in the game, no question. This is where I'll defend Patrick just a little bit here, because someone else sent this in. C-Dot, I think the Chiefs lost because they scored the last touchdown with too much time on the clock. I can't blame that. If the Chiefs score a touchdown and they give Jackson, like they are kicking the ball off to Jacksonville after the 2-minute warning with one timeout left, you trust your defense to go out there and make this play. This is the defense that we spent the last 3 weeks talking about how they looked back to form and how this was a top five unit again and how Spags had this unit going. That's how we praise this team for how they played on defense the last couple of weeks, and they deserve that kind of praise. Maybe I'm just different when it comes to this. I'm big on a control what you can control. And I thought on their final drive offensively, I thought they played with the rhythm and momentum. I wasn't putting the brakes on that. Let's score. Let's take the lead here 28-24, and let's trust our defense to go out there and make a play. And the defense just didn't make a Nothing outside of the offense made a play. Special teams put the ball on the 40-yard line. They gave up a 3rd-and-7 big play in the middle of the field. They had a chance to get a sack on Trevor Lawrence. They didn't sack him. He then ran for a touchdown. I feel like the offense did what they were supposed to do. But football is three phases. The offense gets an A-plus for the fourth quarter. The special teams gets an F. The defense gets an F. You lose in that scenario. We'll continue to take your phone calls and also read your text. If you had to fill in the blank, the Chiefs lost because of what? We'll keep answering it. Keep it right here, so Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the show. We are asking the question, the Chiefs lost because fill in the blank. Someone texted in and said that the Chiefs are no longer the team that can overcome these types of mistakes with their offense alone. I just think yesterday the Chiefs just had too many mistakes all just kind of wrapped up into one. Like, I think their offense was really good yesterday. I don't think it was as good as it was against the Ravens, but this was a question that all of us asked. Hey, was the offense that we saw from the Chiefs, was that the Chiefs or was that the Ravens? And when the Texans scored 44 points against the Ravens, we were kind of asking that question ourselves yesterday. Hey, I mean, I just saw the Texans team kind of do whatever they wanted against the Ravens. What does that mean for the Chiefs offense? I think the Chiefs offense is actually rounding into form. I thought that was the best day that we got from their running game. I think getting back Xavier Worthy has really helped the run game. He's good for one or two pop plays that are going to happen in the run game. I think they're starting to do a better job at getting Breshard Smith. I mean, the room still needs some improvement. Don't get me wrong. Their running attack is not great. It was fine yesterday. Their rush attack is not why they lost that game. I don't have any complaints about the running attack heading into this one. I think it was these type of mistakes. I think they made almost every single mistake that you can make yesterday. I mean, you gave up a non-offensive touchdown. That's big. On special teams, I mean, you can't start a drive better than at the 40-yard line. Like, of all the possibilities, the 40 is the best that you can do, or the worst that you can do. They kick the ball out of bounds in that scenario. On defense, you commit a pass interference in the end zone. So you say they can't overcome these kind of mistakes. No team in the league would have won yesterday with the amount of mistakes that the Chiefs have. You can't commit pass interference in the end zone. You can't kick the ball out of bounds on the final drive of the game. Like, part of the benefit of giving them the ball with less than 2 minutes with only one timeout is that they really got to work to get down the field. You don't got to work if you basically give it to them at midfield. That's a tremendous advantage that you have. They committed just about every mistake that you can in the final 5 minutes of the game. I think this text is a very fair one. We'll get to the phone lines here. C-Dot, I've seen this movie before. They'll be fine. I hope everybody buries the Chiefs. I don't really think that there's any reason to bury the Chiefs. I really don't. But I think for the first time in a while, we are not talking about the best team in the AFC. At least not right now. They can become the best team in the AFC, no question. But there haven't been too many times, I would say, over the last 3 years that the Chiefs didn't look pretty clearly like they were the best team in the conference. Right now, the Chiefs just feel like one of a bunch of different teams. That's what they feel like. They feel like one of a bunch of different teams. So I understand why this start feels a little bit different. They get Rashee Rice back, and there are certainly a lot of things to trend upward. But I think at least what has caused some of the panic about this one is the Chiefs seem to have such a decided advantage in the final 5 minutes of these games. They were going to out-execute. Mahomes was going to make a play. For years, it felt like that. It doesn't feel like that right now. Now, maybe that is just the pendulum swinging in the other direction. To use a roulette analogy, it came up red for 11 straight times. If you've ever played roulette before and they show you the board, it came up red for the Chiefs 11 straight times. You know eventually it's going to turn black, but it was red 11 straight times. I do feel like some of this is just it's finally turned black. It will turn back the other way around, but the Chiefs were never going to go undefeated in one possession games in back-to-back seasons. Maybe this year they go 4-3 in those games. They go 5-3 or 6-4 in those games. But last year for the Chiefs to win 11 consecutive one-score coin flip 50-50 games is just not a realistic, sustainable model. And I think we heard this in the offseason and took this as people of the outside hating on the Chiefs. Man, regression is a real thing. And in some ways, regression has happened to the Chiefs in these kinds of games. The Chiefs last year, in every close game in the final 5 minutes, they figured it out. Whether it was blocking a kick, whether it was a player's foot being out of bounds, they had an incredible string of everything working their way. At least so far in these close games, everything has not worked their way. It wasn't that way against the Chargers. It wasn't that way against the Eagles. It certainly wasn't last night against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's take Adam's phone call on this one. Hey, Adam, how you doing, man?
Good. How you doing, man?
Doing good, man. Appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, absolutely. So, to me, I want to say, of course, what everyone's been saying, special teams definitely was shoddy and did not look great. But to me, it has been this defense from, I mean, you can even go as back as the first week when Justin Herbert was tearing that zone defense apart. You can't just keep running a zone, this soft zone, and then blitzing on third down and act like, you know, teams aren't going to adjust to that. You've got to do something different. And it doesn't help when your front four can't put any pressure on the quarterback and your heart and soul of this front four, Chris Jones, decides on the last play to just, well, I'm going to take it easy and ride on the bench. I mean, you can't expect, you know, Pat and the offense to bring it back when the defense is letting up 28 points or 31 points.
No,
I mean, it's uncalled for.
I'm with you, Adam, and I appreciate the phone call, man. I'm certainly with you when it comes to that. I want to read a couple of these text messages really quickly. Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, I feel like a lot of this is because the Chiefs missed Justin Reed. I actually feel like out of the two, like if you were asking me right now, which player would I bring back on the Chiefs defense? Would I bring back Justin Reed or Tashaun Wharton? I think they miss Wharton way more than they miss Justin Reed. I think having a guy in the middle of their defense who got 7 sacks last season was a big positive. And I think the feeling was, oh, well, let's make another Tashaun Wharton. They made one before. They could just make another Tashaun Wharton. You got Jones. You got Karloftis. You could turn Mike Dana into this. You brought back Derek Nnadi. I do think we all just felt like losing Tashaun Wharton in the middle of the defense and the pressure that he got, it was no big deal. And if Chris Jones isn't going to be a double-digit sack guy, and that's what he was in 2022 and 2023, if he's going to be a guy that gets you 5.5, 6.5 sacks, man, you got to make up that pressure from somewhere else. And they made that pressure up with Tashaun Wharton. Who is that other guy? So you need Charles Aminihu to be better. Mike Dana has one pressure this season, not this game. Mike Dana has one pressure this season. You got to make up that pressure somewhere. And one of the problems right now with the Chiefs is they're just not getting enough pressure with their front four, their defensive line. They're not winning consistently enough up front. And if there's one play that shows you that, it's the final play of the game from Jacksonville in which Trevor Lawrence scores the rushing touchdown. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to the top story. We'll talk about Chris Jones and the inexcusable effort on the final play of the game. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.